Well, I've already said that the word karma means action. That's what it literally means. Just to kind of clarify something which may be confusing you, karma is a Sanskrit word, but it's also, the word is also known in another form, in a language called Pali, kamma. And the scriptures that I'm talking from were written down in this language of Pali, but because the Sanskrit form of the word is so well known, I'm just going to stick to that. Karma, action. Yeah, so I think there's a popular idea of karma that it means something like fate or predestination. So when something bad happens to you, somebody comes along and says, ah, that's the result of your karma. You had that coming to you. That was inevitable. So the implication is that things that happen to you, particularly bad things, I think, that happen to one, are some sort of retribution for the bad conduct that you've, you know, that you've performed in the past. I think this is quite a popular idea. And in it, even there was no escape. You know, there was no escape from these consequences. They were bound to happen. You know, this is the way that sometimes people talk. And the best that you can do is to accept your punishment or retribution, and in this way be purified by doing so. So this kind of idea that the universe is there waiting to give you what you deserve. This is to see the universe as some kind of rewarder and punisher, a rewarder for good conduct and a punisher for bad, almost as though it was some kind of god or power of that kind. And so karma is seen as some sort of inescapable, inevitable law, perhaps not dissimilar from, say, the law of gravity. You throw a body in the air and it falls. That always happens, you know, unless you're in space or whatever. And I think sometimes people see karma in this way. You know, you act badly and you're going to get punished for it. You act well and you're going to get rewarded. And, I mean, this is extremely crude. An extremely crude model of karma, and in some ways quite mistaken. But where does it come from, this idea? Why do people think this way? And to understand this, I think it's useful to go into a little bit of history. Because actually, Buddhism isn't the only tradition that has a notion of karma. It's a kind of pan-Indian idea, and we find it in what we call Hinduism, and Jainism too, two of the other Indian religions. And actually at the time of the advent of the Buddha, there were ideas of karma already, you know, in circulation, ideas of karma and rebirth, in what's called the Vedic tradition, the Vedic Brahminical tradition. Vedic tradition comes from the Vedas, sacred texts of, well, what we now call the Hindus, or some of the sacred texts. Anyway, according to this notion, this Vedic notion, if you like, one's born into a particular station in life, even a particular caste, due to one's previous karma. It's all determined by one's action in one's past life. So, given that that is the case, in this life, one's duty is to perform, you know, one's caste functions. So if one was born to the lowest pile, if you like, the lowest strata of the pile, you should just simply get on with that, live out your allotted function, and in doing that you can look forward to a better rebirth next time round. So importantly, you shouldn't try to change your social status. You should just accept it, get on with it, and as I say, if you do that, you know, fully you'll get a better rebirth next time. Again, this is quite crude, but it's not completely too far from the truth. I don't think it's quite like that, really. I think rather than seeing it as this sort of inevitable law, that if you act this way you'll get this kind of rebirth, etc., I'd rather see it more as an organic principle, or as a general rule, if you like, that admits of quite a bit of variation and flexibility. So as a general rule, one will reap the consequences of one's past actions. But we need to understand how this works. It doesn't mean that every individual little wrong that you do, every little lie that you tell, you know, every time you swear or whatever, you know, the universe is going to find some way to pay you back. you know, suddenly someone else is going to come along and swear at you or lie to you. It's not quite as crude and simple as that. Although actually, some of the Buddhist texts present it in that way. Some of the consequences of one's actions may be so minor as to be, you know, invisible or negligible. You may not be able to see, you know, the consequences. At the same time as well, two people might actually commit the same act, or what appears to be the same act, with very different consequences. And the difference of in these consequences can be explained through karma. I'm going to go into that in a bit more detail shortly. Just want to say one more thing about what karma is not, or what rebirth is not. And what it is not, is it's not reincarnation. So the idea of reincarnation is that we have this fixed identity, this soul, this kind of essence that is us, our core, that transmigrates from life to life, as though we transplant it from one body to the next body in the new life. This is not the Buddhist idea of rebirth. So how does Buddhism see it? How does Buddhism see the self? Well, I'm just going to come on to that.